That first reading was really the end of a story that I'd like to tell the whole story to give you the context. Naaman was a general in the Syrian army. He was a pretty significant person. And he had a very successful life, influence in the country, but he had one problem. He had contracted leprosy. And so he had tried various cures in his homeland, and nothing ever worked. And so a child in his retinue suggested that there was a prophet in Israel that might be able to cure him, Elisha. And so he came to Israel with a large retinue of animals and servants and lavish gifts to give to the prophet if he was successful. And so he comes to the door of Elisha, and Elisha doesn't even come out and greet him. He sends a servant out who tells him, "Go and wash 7 times in the Jordan River." And Naaman is incensed. It's an affront that the prophet wouldn't even come out and speak to him. And he said, "We have great rivers in my homeland, and this puddle that they call the Jordan, I'm not going to go wash myself in that mud hole." But one of his servants pleads with him and says, "Well, you've tried everything in Syria. What do you have to lose? Give it a try." And so he goes and he plunges himself 7 times in the Jordan River, and he's cured. So a radical transformation happens to this man. Outwardly, he is cured so completely that his flesh becomes like that of a little child. But inwardly, something has happened too. He's converted. And so he comes back to give thanks, and he wants to give these lavish gifts to the prophet, and the prophet says, "No, I don't need that." And he says, "Well, then allow me 2 mule loads of dirt to take back to my homeland, because I am never going to worship any god except the God of Israel." He needed that dirt from Israel to build his altar on in Syria so that he could worship the true God. It's a complete conversion. And probably the authors didn't have this in mind, but the word there is he plunged himself 7 times in the Jordan. Remember that Jesus was plunged into the Jordan River when he was baptized. The early theologians of the church used to always use the word plunge. One of them said, it's one of my favorite quotes, "Blessed are they who, trusting in the cross and resurrection, have plunged themselves into the water of life." Well, that's us too. We were all baptized. At one point, we were plunged into that water, and everything changed. And we said goodbye. We put to death the old life, and we were reborn. And this Naaman is reborn. His flesh becomes out of like a little child. It's a rebirth, a whole new creation. And that's what happened with us as well. The gospel story is somewhat similar. 10 lepers come to Jesus. "Master, have pity on us," they say, asking for a cure. And Jesus is rather dismissive, just like Elisha. He says, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And so they go, feeling a little bit dismissed, I suppose. But there was a law in Israel at that time that the only ones who could cure leprosy were the priests. And so they go trusting that maybe the priests are going to be able to cure them. And on the way, they get healed. So the 9 who were Jewish, they understood that law, and they kind of assumed that it was the priests toward whom they were going who had cured them. So they keep going to the priests. But the Samaritan is not Jewish. He's an outsider. He's a foreigner. He doesn't know that law. So he assumes that it was Jesus who cured him. And so he comes back. But this is a conversion story too. He falls at the feet of Jesus and gives thanks to God. And then Jesus says, stand up and go your way. And the Greek word, whenever Jesus tells a paralytic or anyone he's healed to stand up and go their way, the word for stand up is the same word for Jesus' resurrection. It's a rebirth. It's a whole new life. The old Samaritan is no longer there. It's this new person in Christ. And Jesus says, your faith has healed you. He has come to faith. And he gives thanks. And Naaman gave thanks. And we who are baptized into Christ Jesus, that's one of the main things we do as Christians, is we give thanks. And so one of the words that characterizes Christians more than any other is Eucharist, which is a Greek word that means to give thanks. We're a Eucharistic people. It is our nature as Christians to first of all recognize what has been done for us by God. Our lives, our gifts and talents, our intelligence, our bodies, everything about us comes from God. And not only that, but Christ has died on the cross for us. God has given his complete self for us and demands nothing less in return than our complete selves. And so we gather here every Sunday to do Eucharist, to do this activity of giving thanks. And so we remember what has been done for us by the words of institution on the night before he died. And we're always facing a scene of his death and his resurrection. And so we learn as life goes on to offer our very selves, to lay ourselves on the altar along with Christ and offer ourselves in thanksgiving to God. And we pray the Eucharistic prayer, which is called the Great Prayer of Praise and Thanksgiving. So what does it look like in the practical to give our whole selves back to Christ? You know, we say that here fairly often. That's important for Christians to give themselves back to God completely. What would that look like? Well, it's for each of us to discern through prayer every day. But it might look like being more generous to the church. It might look like being more generous to the poor. It might look like doing more than giving money, but working to end social structures that keep people poor. Doing justice in addition to mercy. It might look like being more attentive to the needs of those around us. It might look like being more prayerful, praying more often and praying more deeply. I mean, there are any number of possibilities of what this could look like on a daily basis for each of us. It's for us to discern, but our prayer always needs to be, Lord, what are you asking of me today? What can I do to give myself to you? What would that look like for me today?